When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hello, folks, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm here to introduce a two-part interview series with writer, speaker, and Bible study teacher Jennifer Rothschild. First of all, you'll notice that the music on these two shows will not be provided by us. Jennifer has given us verbal permission to use her songs in our shows. So what you're about to hear are two of the wonderful songs she has created, and I'm sure you'll agree with Timothy and I that her voice is truly beautiful and her Christian songs are wonderful. We hope you'll enjoy the music and the interview that follows. We'll be playing a couple of Jennifer's songs, then part one of her interview, and we will end with another of her songs. So please sit back and enjoy the podcast. Thank you.
I will rejoice in you. I will rejoice in you.
Jennifer's interview will begin in a moment, but first here's Timothy on how to contact us.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Today, we have a special podcast because we have a special person joining us. It's a privilege to have Jennifer Rothschild join us. Jennifer, can you introduce yourself, please?
Well, hey, everybody. I am Jennifer, and I'm super glad to be with you. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I actually love to learn from and teach the Bible. And I'm a mom with two sons, and I've got a little dog named Lucy, and she's the kind of dog that just allows us to live in her house. She is definitely
in charge. And you've got record albums out, right?
Yes, and I've recorded a few CDs over the years. Yeah, so that's kind of my story.
I know in your book, Lessons I Learned in the Dark, it talks about how you made a life-changing decision when you were 8. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor, so quite honestly, I didn't have much choice. But I'm so glad that that was the path that God put me on. Because from my earliest memory, I was learning about who God was, about who his son Jesus was. I was learning hymns of the faith and songs, and it was just a safe, beautiful way to grow up. Yet, when I was 8 years old, even though I was still very young, I was old enough to understand that those claims of Christ were very personal. And because his gift of salvation was a personal gift to me, it required a personal response. And so when I really understood, as much as an 8-year-old could, what the love of God meant through the sacrifice of Jesus, Jesus forgiving me of my sins and making a way for me to live forever in heaven. I mean, it was my very natural response to just say yes to receive Christ. And you know what's beautiful about that is my life really did change. I could see, looking back at it, just even differences in how peaceful I felt, in how purposeful. And, you know, it was what I needed. I needed that relationship with Christ, not only for the salvation of my soul, but just to experience life in an abundant way. Because things were about to change for me when I turned 15.
Well, what I was thinking of, yeah, I wanted to ask you about your blindness, so that's perfect, because I'm going to come back to the faith, and I have a question about that, but after you talk about your blindness.
Well, I was 15 and had a little bit of difficulty with my eyesight, but it was so subtle that it was hardly noticeable. You know, like my math grades started to plummet. I didn't realize it's because I couldn't see the numbers well. I was tripping downstairs. I was bumping into people. I loved art and I loved painting. And I would, you know, go to paint the tree trunk on a tree brown and realize when I got it into a different light, I'd actually use the color purple. I couldn't see the difference. So
maybe
lots of subtle.
You should have sold them for modern art.
I know. I could have probably sold it for something, my purple tree trunk. It was so subtle that I just thought, well, I'm dumb, I'm clumsy. But one night I was walking with my mom to a friend's apartment. She lived upstairs, and I was tripping up the stairs. And my mom paused and asked, can you not, you know, see those stairs? And I was shocked that she could. And so when she discovered, obviously, that I could not see that, I was at the eye doctor the next day. And within a couple of weeks, I was at the Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute, Miami, Florida, which is where we lived. And that's where I was diagnosed with this disease called retinitis pigmentosa. So I was legally blind at the age of 15. And over the coming years, I continued to lose more eyesight. My retinas deteriorated. Things got darker and darker. And quite honestly, I don't know when it actually happened that things went totally black, somewhere in my late 20s, early 30s. But I'm in my 50s now, and I've lived in physical darkness longer than I lived in physical light. So it's been a real opportunity for me to continually learn tenacity and empathy and perseverance and just the trustworthiness of the God who I trusted when I was 8 years old.
But that must have been really scary when you finally came to that point that you knew that your eyesight was fading.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of times when the, you know, fear and sadness and anger sometimes look very similar to each other. So it's kind of hard to say. Of course, when the first diagnosis occurred, God so cushioned me in his grace at that point that I don't think I felt the deepest brunt of it. It was only in the coming years when I was beginning to navigate the lack of independence that I probably struggled with more frustration. But I remember when it was many years ago, but I was an adult and in our home, we were having company, and in the same room where I'm sitting in the closet right now, I went to turn on the two lamps that are on the dresser in the guest room because we were about to have company. And I turned on the right lamp and I wasn't sure. I thought, is the bulb out? And then I turned the left one on and I thought, well, maybe the bulb's out. Maybe it's not plugged in. I checked the plug and then I ended up touching the bulbs and realized they were hot. And that was a moment that was like an overwhelming sadness of realizing it's totally happened. I don't perceive any light anymore. And, you know, you just got to re-navigate the grief every time you have a change like that when you've experienced loss. You know what that's like, Chaplain Tim. You, unfortunately, yeah. Stephanie, both. You know what that's like.
So where I'm going with this and putting the two things together, when I read your book, I was elated because there was somebody that had experienced all this, but their faith, I felt, shaped their blindness rather than their blindness shaping their faith. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
I had never heard it put quite like that, and that's a powerful statement. And I'm grateful to the grace of God that my faith has shaped my blindness and not the other way around. And I think it can be that way with anything hard that we face, whether it's a physical loss, whether it's the loneliness of loss of a relationship, whether it's our independence being cut off because we're not living independently again. I mean, there's tons of things that we experience that are hard like that. And I think in order to allow our faith to shape that hard situation, we have to be completely grounded in a reality and in a truth that is unchanging. Because our loss changes, our emotions change, our circumstance change, but our faith will not change if it's grounded and based completely on the Bible. And that's where I have found my life. That's where I found my light. And that's probably why my faith to shape my blindness and not the other way around. You know, there's this verse in Psalm 119, and I believe it's verse 92. I'm not sure exactly, but it's in Psalm 119. And it says, the psalmist says this to God, if your law, and he just means if your word, your truth, had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the key. That's the key. We've got to have our whole life anchored on God's word. Otherwise, we're not going to make it through. And I don't want a faith that changes as much as my feelings do. I want a faith that is so solid that it can inform my feelings so that my feelings don't take me down paths that I don't want to go. So that's only because of God's grace and because of his word.
So say there is somebody out there right now who's listening to us and they're going through a loss, whether it be a loss as far as a special need or any kind of a life loss, what would you say to them as far as the first steps they should take?
Well, I think the first step, and this is a hard one, but the first one is to embrace what you can't avoid. Sometimes we waste a lot of emotional energy and spiritual potential by wishing and rationalizing and trying to fix it and change it. And if this is something that you just can't change, that's when you need to embrace it. And to embrace it means you just say, okay, God, I'm going to accept what you've allowed. I'm going to be patient with myself. I'm going to be patient with the process. I'm going to be patient with you. And I'm going to accept what I can't avoid because I'm going to trust that you have a plan within it. So not only am I going to just accept it by your grace, but I'm going to embrace it. Instead of this being an enemy that I'm going to fight against, I'm going to ask you, God, to help me make this an ally in my life that can teach me about myself, that can teach me about you, that can make me stronger, that can help me love people better. So I think that's the first step, Chaplain Tim. And that's hard. I get it. That's hard. But God's grace does hard things in us that we can't do ourselves. So we just ask him for his grace and we embrace what we can't avoid. But then I think the second thing that we can do once we're doing that process, what helps us with that process is to, well, I'm going to put it this way, so hear me out, because I don't want this to sound callous. I promise you it is not. But we need to sometimes find a bigger problem. I've had to do that with my blindness. Because when we're struggling, when we're suffering, when all we can see is our own problem, then it becomes the biggest and only thing on our mind. And it really does, it does what we don't want it to do. It isolates us. It invites self-pity. But if we can say, okay, there are other people who are struggling, and I'm not going to put them on a scale and say, well, my problem is worse than theirs. Their problem is big to them, so I'm going to try to engage them. And when we begin to bear other people's burdens, ours actually become lighter. I don't know why that works, but I have learned that over the years in blindness. When I'm really struggling, when I'm feeling the most discouraged, that's when I encourage other people, because it lifts my own burden. So I think the first thing we do is we just try to accept what God has allowed through his grace. And then we don't become an island of our own suffering, but instead we become this pathway where we invite people in and we walk into other people's lives and we acknowledge other people's struggle too, and that we can grow together within it.
He's now my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save the world. Oh, my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I need not, your mansion deep praise, thou my inheritance now and always. Thou only first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory's won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heavenly sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, O still be my vision, O ruler of all.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.